the State of the Union versus the State of the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the president speaks and the Fed meets. Can you guess which one economists are going to be paying more attention to? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow is up 37 points at 11,909. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 up about 0.1%. McDonald's said this morning that sales were up 5% last year with 4.4% growth here in the U.S. The company says it will open, get this, 1,100 new stores this year. Now let's get to the two big events happening in Washington this week. Obviously, tomorrow night, President Obama will deliver the State of the Union address, but also the Fed begins a two-day meeting tomorrow, and that's the one Paul Dales will be paying more attention to. He's an economist at Capital Economics, and he joins us now from Toronto. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is it that really has you interested in what the Fed's going to be doing?
Well, the interest really is whether the signs of a better economic environment prompt the Fed to alter its policy and buy fewer Treasury securities than it has pledged to do, which would therefore remove some support from the economy. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's too soon. The economic recovery is looking a bit better, but the Fed really needs to see more for it to withdraw its policy stimulus.
And the policy stimulus you're talking about is a $600 billion plan to buy up government bonds and really throw some more cash into the economy. How much do you think that that matters outside of the United States? Do you think world leaders are going to be watching to see what the Fed does?
I think there will be, yes. There was quite a bit of an uproar when the Fed started this policy because it is seen to be pushing down the dollar, which therefore pushes up the exchange rate of other nations. So there is some concern there, and that might, further issues about this might prompt some governments to take measures to maybe reduce their own exchange rate, which obviously has implications around the world for every nation.
All right, Paul Dales, economist at Capital Economics. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, China's President Hu's visit to the U.S. is over, but he left a lot of corporate deals behind. One of them is a possible first. The Industrial and Commercial Bank of China wants to be the first Chinese bank to take over a U.S. bank. Here's Marketplace's Rob Schmitz.
Chinese offshore oil company Sinuk's bid for U.S. oil giant Unocal failed. Chinese appliance maker Haiyar's attempt to purchase Maytag, ditto. So what are the chances ICBC's bid for a little-known U.S. retail bank will crash and burn, too?
Given the spectacle of failed acquisition attempts in the U.S. by Chinese firms in the past, it's pretty unlikely that ICBC would have taken this move without at least a wink and a nod from bank regulators.
That's Will Hess with economic advisory firm China Analytics. ICBC is the world's largest bank. It wants to buy 80% of the U.S. division of the Bank of East Asia. Never heard of it? That's exactly why ICBC may stand a chance with Congress as it seeks the Fed's approval. If the Fed says yes, the $140 million deal will give ICBC 10 branches in California and 3 in New York. It'll also mean a much-needed buyer for a bank that's been drowning in its own cesspool of subprime mortgages. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Two hearings today in federal court in Delaware. At issue in both is whether two bankrupt subprime mortgage lenders can trash thousands of boxes of original loan documents. Stay tuned for the results. Now a question we can answer right now. Why are these cases and so many other high-profile business cases heard by judges in the state of Delaware? Charles Elson heads the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware, and he joins us this morning from Newark. Good morning.
Good morning.
So according to the state of Delaware's website, there are more than 850,000 business entities that have their legal home in Delaware, including more than half of all publicly traded U.S. companies. What's that all about?
Originally, most companies were incorporated in the state of New York. And around 1880, 1890, New York law changed and made it less hospitable for large companies to be there, and they moved across the river to New Jersey. And New Jersey law changed. Delaware was the next state over. And all that Delaware had was a law that simply was the old New York law, but they didn't change it.
And what is it about that law, Charles Elson, that companies like so much?
Well, it was just a very smart way of ordering relationships between investors, management, and boards of directors, and disputes would be resolved in an effective manner. But that really isn't the reason people are here today. We developed in this state a court system to resolve disputes involving that law, and the judges in that court became particularly good at resolving these disputes. And as a result, the court itself became really the reason to incorporate here as opposed to the law itself.
Are there other states that are vying to take over as the place where companies want to incorporate?
Oh, yeah. Nevada, North Dakota, for instance, have tried, but they haven't been successful. And I think it has to do, again, with this judiciary. It's considered neutral. The state itself has no business other than the effective regulation of corporations. So it's important to the state to maintain that franchise and maintain the view in the investor community that it is balanced in its approach.
What does it mean for Delaware's economy to have all these companies incorporating in the state?
About 27% of our direct revenue, tax revenue, comes from the corporations. Another significant amount comes from unclaimed dividends and whatnot. And then there's a lot of income tax that comes in from those businesses that are involved in corporate regulation. So it's very significant to the state. And that's why the state is so insistent on getting it right.
Charles Elson, head of the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Very good to be with you.
Finally, to the Vatican, where Pope Benedict had a message for those spreading the gospel online through social networks. It's not all about popularity and how many likes you get. He told his fellow Catholics to take on a Christian-style presence online, one that is respectful and discreet. Unlike at the actual Vatican, though, visitors to the church's Facebook page will hopefully still be able to write on the wall. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Patton Oswalt has a theory on the role of comedians in society and of public radio hosts.
I need you to keep the world running, and then you need me to amuse you at the end of the day when you've basically saved the world again.
I'm Kai Ryssdal. A stand-up comic makes his literary debut next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.